The title of this week's meditation is called Orphans No More, which is based on one of the verses of today's text. I was one of the lucky ones. I had parents, a mother and a father, who not only conceived me and gave birth to me, but also raised me and nurtured me in a loving environment. I was doubly lucky to have both my parents live into their 90s until I was in my 60s. Now, other people aren't so lucky. Shortly after they're born, one or both of their parents give them up, either by dropping them off at the doorsteps of a hospital or turning them over to doctors and nurses who locate others to raise them. Sometimes these orphan babies are adopted shortly after birth by prospective parents, but other times, at least in my childhood, they were taken to orphanages where they hopefully would be raised by caretakers and adopted by people who would become their parents. About 5 miles from where I grew up in the southeast section of Washington, D.C., there stood off the road a place called the German Orphanage Home. I only knew it was there from the sign that bore its name on the entrance to the place. I never walked or rode in a car to the orphanage, but I imagined it to be a rather dark and Victorian-looking place. It was a vision that was dispelled by my father, for he was fond of saying that the orphans who lived there had a better childhood than he did, living in poverty with 7 siblings and a single mother. The author John Irving gave us some insights into what life in an orphanage might have been like decades ago in his novel, The Cider House Rules. Whether life like the one Irving depicted ever actually existed is debatable, but it seems likely that there was more than some truth to it. In one of the first scenes of the movie, a young couple came to the orphanage and adopted a baby named Homer Wells. Days later, they brought him back saying something was wrong with him because he never made a sound. When the doctor who ran the orphanage was given Homer, he exclaimed he simply was too happy to cry. Later, when a second family adopted Homer, they were discovered to have been beating him, and he was returned to the orphanage a second time. After that, no one came to adopt Homer, and he grew up in the orphanage, essentially by the doctor who ran the place, along with his fellow orphan boys and girls. In another touching scene from the movie, orphans were looking out the window of their orphanage at prospective parents who came to adopt children. As they looked, their eager and hopeful eyes said, "Pick me, pick me." Then when the adults came in the door, the orphans met them with their best behavior, hoping they would be one of the lucky ones who would be adopted. Sometimes in our childhood, we wonder if we too were adopted and who our biological parents might have been. Or we wonder if we will become orphaned. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote of having this experience herself when she was asked by her parents to babysit her younger siblings, which she talked about in the following way. "First, my father would sit me down and remind me how much he and my mother trusted me, not only because I was the oldest, but because I was the most responsible. This always made me dizzy, but I agreed with him. I wouldn't let the house burn down, I wouldn't open the door to strangers, and I wouldn't let my sisters fall down the basement steps. Then my mother would show me where she left the telephone number, remind me when they would come home, and all together we'd walk to the front door where everyone kissed everyone goodbye. Then the lock clicked into place and a new era began, for I was in charge. Turning around to face my new responsibilities, what I saw were my sisters' faces looking at me with something between hope and fear. They knew I was no substitute for what they had lost, but since I was all they had, they were willing to try. And so was I. I played games with them. I read books with them. I made the pimento cheese sandwiches with white bread and crust cut off. But as the night wore on, they got crankier and crankier. 'Where are Mommy and Daddy?' they asked. 'Where did they go? When will they come back?' I told them over and over again, and I made up elaborate stories about what we would all do together in the morning. I promised them that if they would go to sleep, I would make sure Mommy and Daddy kissed them goodnight when they came in. I tried to make everything sound normal, but how did I know? Our parents might have had a terrible accident and might never come home again, and the three of us would be split apart, sent to different foster homes so that we would never see each other again. It was hard being the babysitter because I was a potential orphan too." Now, sometimes instead of being born an orphan or feeling like we are orphans, we become one. If we live long enough, as I have, our parents die before we do, as my parents did in their old age, and we too find ourselves being orphans. This morning's scripture lesson is a continuation of Jesus' so-called farewell address, began in last week's reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus continued talking to his disciples and prepared them for his imminent departure. While we don't know if any of them were really orphans, we do know that Jesus worried that they would feel like they were, not from potentially losing their parents, but rather from losing him. Jesus had talked of leaving them many times before. And even though they apparently didn't know he was referring to his death, his going away would cause them to experience the loss of their beloved teacher and dear friend. So to alleviate their worries, Jesus made them a wonderful promise when he said, "I will not leave you orphaned." How could Jesus have kept his promise when he knew he would be leaving them in death? He answered this question when he said, "I am coming to you." But how could he come to them when he was dead? He answered that question too when he said, "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also." Jesus would not leave his disciples orphaned, because he would remain with them and they would remain with him in spirit. They would abide in each other, and even though they would physically not be together, they would never leave each other. This was very good news for Jesus' disciples, as it is good news for us. For whether we're already orphaned, potential orphans, or just feel like we are, we're never totally alone and desolate, for Jesus comes to us and abides with us. Another minister named Sherry Compton shared this good news when she wrote this: "The good news for orphans is that we don't have to be orphans. Those of us who truly love, those who truly love us are inside of us, and no one can snatch us out of their hands. We may have to learn a new way of communicating with them, since they are inside us now and not outside, where we can hang on them in the old way. If we want to talk to them, we may have to sit down with some quiet place and listen very carefully for the sound of the wind blowing inside of us, for the sound of the still small voice that speaks in silence more often than it speaks in words. God dwells with us, leaving us notes all over the place. Love one another. Don't be afraid. Believe in me. If it were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you so?" It is because of this that if we are orphans or become ones, we will be orphans no more. That, my friends, is the good news.